Good morning, church. Pastor Dale here. It's good to be with you this morning for remote worship, radio worship, as we gather around the good news of the gospel today. Hey, I hope that you're doing well. I hope that you're taking care of yourself and those that you're with these days and feeling God's goodness and love, because it is all around us, even in these challenging times. Hey, if you're watching today online, and by that I mean either Facebook or through our website, let us know that you're with us, who you are, where you're watching from, if others are watching with you. It's a great way to get a sense of the gathered community in this new form. You know, here at Central Church, we are already beginning to think about how we would re-enter into in-person worship, in-person community. I addressed some of that in my blog last week, and if you haven't read that, I encourage you to do that. But we'd like to get your input on that also, and so we're going to be sending out a congregational survey this Friday, and so if you would, look for that in your email. We're going to ask you some questions on your thoughts and feelings about that reentry process, again, into worship and into other forms of community. Your input is vital, so thanks for taking care of that and helping us with that. In the meantime, good things continue to happen online. Children and youth are connecting, and adults are having meaningful discussions around books and scripture. And I wanted to let you know that we're starting a new Wednesday lecture series. This will kick off on May 13th. It's entitled This is My Now. And our first speaker is Angie Morgan. Angie is a member here at Central Church. A writer, national speaker, and she does a great job of talking about how core values of our life guide us through our life and help make us, shape us into who we are, both in the good times as well as the challenging times. So tune in and be a part of that. It's coming Wednesday, May 13th. Hey, I also want to mention we launch into a new loose coin offering. The May loose coin offering is Justice for Our Neighbor. And as you probably know, JFON, as we call it, is providing free immigration legal services to our neighbors in need throughout northern Michigan. Our site director, Aileen Beitler, shared just a few notes on that. And I would like to let you hear them as well. She wants you to know that JFON staff remain on the job, safely working from home. Legal staff is meeting with clients over the phone, preparing for any possible legal requirements, because the legal process obviously continues. Most of our clients, she shares, have lived in northern Michigan for years, maybe even decades. They're young adults brought here as children, non-citizen family members, American citizens, refugees seeking green cards, permanent residents applying for citizenship, migrant workers without status. They come to America seeking that better life, and American life is enhanced by their presence. And so JFON is helping them with that whole process. And a good news is that they have received a $50,000 matching grant through JFON of Michigan. And in part, what that means is that all the monies given this spring will be doubled. And so as you're able, save up your coins, make a gift to Justice for Our Neighbor. Hey, those are the things that I want to name this morning. And now I would say, may the grace and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we move into our time of worship.
Spirit of the living God, we gather in different ways this morning.
From computer screens, from telephones, from car radios, we gather.
Reaching out across the wires, waving from a safe distance to come together as the body of Christ.
From living room to front porch, to car seat, we gather as we are able, ready to be of service to each other.
To the world, ready to build the community of hope and of love as we face this bright morning.
It is a new way, but an old way.
That we come together, ready to meet you again.
Bye.
Thank you.
Good morning, children. Pastor Dale here. It's good to be with you for a few moments for our children's time. I'm standing here out in the hallway just outside the church offices by this big bulletin board of the United Methodist Women. It's a bulletin board that talks about some of the things that the women in our church do to share Jesus's love with others. But today I want to talk to you about something special. As you know, it is a special day today. It's Mother's Day, and a day that's set aside so that we can honor our mothers and let them know that we're thankful for them, that we appreciate all they do for us. And moms do a lot for us, don't they? Can you think of some of those things this morning? I was thinking about how they kind of protect us and keep us safe, how when we're little, like many of you are little, they watch over us and they help us grow up, right? And hopefully we become independent. That's a mom's goal, is to help their children become independent so that you can do things on your own. But moms do a lot of good things for us. Can you think of some of the things and some of the ways that your moms help you? Hey, I want to tell you a little story about Mother's Day. If you look here on the board, you'll see a picture of a woman. Her name is Anna Jarvis, and she began Mother's Day celebration a long time ago in a church kind of like ours in the state of West Virginia. And she thought it was a good idea to honor her mother and all mothers. And so they started a celebration that continues yet today. And, you know, if Anna were here, now she's in heaven with Jesus, but if she were here, I think she'd be asking us, what are you doing to show your mother that you're thankful for her and to honor her in a special way today? And so that's a question I have for you. What are you going to do today? I think the first thing that you can do, if you haven't done it already, I bet you have, but if so, you can do it again, and that is to say, Happy Mother's Day, I love you. Can you take a minute and turn to your mom if she's there with you and just say, Happy Mother's Day, I love you? All right, good. I'm glad that you did that. But there are so many other things that we can do. I think about, you know, maybe making some new art for the refrigerator, or maybe cleaning up something so mom doesn't have to clean it up, helping to prepare a meal, set the table, different things you can do. You know, what about even making some coupons that tells your mom what you might do for her and give those to her, and then she can give them to you and say, okay, thank you for doing that for me. Just some things that you can think about and ways to honor mom on her special day. So today we say thank you for all our mothers and for those who mothered us and loved us like mothers, because you know what? God loves us through our mothers, and we can love God back by loving our mothers and loving our family. So, you know, thank you for moms today, and thank you for the ways they teach us Jesus's love and how we can love others like he loves us.
Hey, brothers and sisters of Central, Pastor Chris here. We get to pray together, and I feel a connection with you across cyberspace here. I think praying for the world is one of the most important things we do as the gathered body, because it unleashes a graced power, and it unleashes us to be used by God when we pray for others. So on this Mother's Day, I've adapted a prayer that comes from a pastor in another part of the country, Andy Little, to make it our own. So could you just with me take a deep breath so that we are fully here? You can bow your head to pray if you want to. You might look up or look out the window at some beauty, whatever would let you be in God's presence. Join me, would you? O life-giving God, who mothers us on this day, we lift up all mothers to you. Your stories, both in scriptures and in creation, have shown us that by your grace, mothering takes so many forms. So we lift up this morning those who have experienced joy and fulfillment in mothering, and those who have known the pain of a child's death, those who are facing motherhood again or for the first time, or those for whom childlessness represents a loss. Oh God, we give over to such unbounded love that they mother all children. We think of those mothers who just mother all the kids and those who lament that they're not with their own children for whatever reason today. We pray for those who mother those of a previous generation who have returned to a childhood in their minds, and those who are elder women themselves, loving their extended families from near or far, even if it's just a Zoom call. Oh God, likewise, we lift up those who have been on the receiving end of mothering, those who have cherished memories of a mother, and those who have suffered abuse or emotional harm. We pray today, thinking of those who remember with joy being mothered by a broad circle of women, not just one woman, and those who feel grief today over the loss of a mother figure. We pray for those who were adopted into the waiting arms of a mother who's now their own flesh and blood. And we pray for those who might be feeling estrangement from their mother. We pray for those who have been raised by a woman who passed on a great respect for all things feminine, and who, in the image of God the Mother, they can now find grounding in their own spirit. O God, who is greater than all our names for you, provoke in us your Spirit's ways, both comfortable and uncomfortable, to nurture and to do no harm, to add to the good of those around us. Oh God, point us to the needs of others and dare us to invest where we can. As we continue into this day, help us value all people we meet, whether in person or remotely. Enlarge our view to see others as image bearers of you, and then to regard all people with respect and dignity. Now in our silence, God, we name to you people and places who are in need of grace and nurture or shelter and food. Hear us. Oh, mother us, to keep us tender-hearted toward the image of God and friend and foe alike, whoever crosses our paths. For we pray now with all the intention of and spirit of Jesus Christ, who dares us to say to you when we pray, O mothering God, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you. I'll be reading from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49, verses 13 through 16. Sing for joy, O heavens, and exult, O earth. Break forth, O mountains, and sing. For the Lord has comforted his people and will have compassion on his suffering ones. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for her, the child in her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you upon the palm of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Hello, Central Church, and happy Mother's Day to all of you who do mothering and all of the you who receive mothering. I have a confession to make, but if you've spent any time around me, you probably already know this. I love babies. I love babies. I love fat babies. I love skinny babies. I love long babies. I love short babies. I love their little chubby cheeks. I like their long stringy toes. And I especially love to smell that little part, the nape of their neck where the skin is so soft. Our nursery staff person, Lucy DeCorn, gave birth to a baby girl, Maya, in this past week. And it's driving me nuts that I won't be able to hold that baby for a long time. But I would rather have Maya safe, of course. When I see women pregnant, I still, after all these years, get jealous. I love being pregnant. I love that moment when you go in for the ultrasound or you go in for the first time to hear the heartbeat. And you hold your breath because you can't believe there's this other heartbeat coming from you, that your heartbeats are in there in harmony or descant or whatever it may be. It is just such an incredible moment. And it makes it that much harder the first time your baby is sobbing. The baby's sobbing and you pick them up and you can't quiet them. And you think, hey, you were inside of me. I should be able to comfort you. Don't you hear my heartbeat again? It sometimes the child is inconsolable. And the best that you can do is just hold the child as they sob. Isaiah, in his writings, often used the metaphor of God as a mother. In fact, the reading the Wessels family did this morning was the case. He speaks of God as mother, as the great beyond good mother, as the universal mother. But he's speaking this into some very troubled times for the followers of God, for the Israelites. If you can recall from the last couple of sermons where Dale and Chris have been laying out the groundwork of history for this time of Isaiah and Jeremiah, Lamentations, and even some of the Psalms. What we know is that there had been total destruction in Jerusalem. The temple had come down. The king was deposed. Some people were left in the ruins of the city, and another group was deported to Babylon to live underneath their captor's watchful eye. Walter Brueggemann, in the book which this series is based on, puts it something like this. The generation of Israelites who lived through and looked back on the destruction of Jerusalem drew very close to despair. They lamented. They wept. And their prayers, if they prayed, were prayers of abandonment. They were intellectually confused and psychologically depressed as a people. Still, they talk to God. Just read Lamentations, say, chapter 5. Why have you forgotten us completely? Why have you forsaken us these many days? Or just read so many of the Psalms, say, Psalm 137. By the waters of Babylon, there we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion, Jerusalem. Or just read in Isaiah 49 today, where the people cry out, "My Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me." They were angry, despondent. Later, in that same Psalm 137, they cry out in communal prayer, "O daughter of Babylon, doomed to be destroyed, blessed shall be he who repays you with what you have done to us. Blessed shall be he who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rocks." Whew. It doesn't get more real than that, does it? That is how deep in despair, so deep they had come to hate, to viciously hate. Still, they were saying all this to God. They were praying all this to God, weren't they? You know, when people swear in the church building and automatically somebody says, "Stop that. Don't say that here. This is God's house." I almost want to chuckle a little bit because here's Israel screaming, frothing out their words, words about their enemies' little ones being dashed against the rocks. And they're saying this to God. Basically, "God, where in the H are you?" They are inconsolable. They are in great despair. Have you seen a sobbing baby? Crying from the center of his or her little chubby body, sounding unconsolable. And then mom or dad picks that child up and holds them close, right here against their chest, against their heartbeat. And the sobbing might lighten to some whimpering, and then it might even stop and they might even fall to sleep. Ah, what a moment. They feel comforted, even if they don't understand why. The baby doesn't understand why that helps. Sometimes even the parents don't understand what helped, but it does. The baby feels comforted or safe or whatever babies feel when they don't understand, just trusting that this is a good place. The psalmists and the prophets come to the same point. They spew anger and froth, and then in the final verses or in the next chapter, they proclaim God's saving or God's comfort or hope. They don't explain the process usually of how to get there. I wonder if they even could, really. Isaiah's verses today do this. They touch on that which is beyond words, that comforts them, that gives them meaning. Through Isaiah, God says, "I will not forget you. I will not forsake you." There was a large school system in which when one of the children in the school is hospitalized, they enlisted a visiting teacher to go and tutor them. And so this particular visiting teacher was assigned to a child. And so she called up the regular teacher and asked, "What do you want me to work on with this little boy?" And the teacher said, "Well, we're working on adverbs and nouns. And I would like you to work with him on those so he won't be quite so far behind when, you know, when the rest of the class moves forward." The hospital program teacher went to see the boy that very afternoon, but no one had prepared her. The boy had severe burns over his body, and he was in great pain. And when she entered that room, she was stuttering and saying, I've been sent by your school to teach you adverbs and nouns, okay?" And when she left, she felt like she hadn't accomplished much of anything. But the next day when she arrived, a nurse came up to her and said, what did you do to that boy?" She thought, "Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. She started apologizing. And the nurse says, no, you don't understand. You don't know what I mean. We've been really worried about this boy. We've been really worried about him. And he had given up. But after you left, his attitude changed. He was fighting back all of a sudden. It's as though he decided to live. A few weeks later, the boy explained what had happened in his words, that he had completely given up hope for himself until that teacher arrived. Everything changed when he came to the simple realization they wouldn't send a teacher to teach adverbs and nouns to a dying boy, would they? Isaiah's passage today goes there too. They were at a point of feeling abandoned by God. We feel like that sometimes. I've felt like that. Have you? In fact, sometimes the pain is so great, it is too much to stand. Everything seems meaningless. God seems to no longer be with us. Our prayer, if we pray at all, becomes complaint. God has forgotten me. Through the prophet Isaiah's words, we are beckoned to go deeper, to listen beyond reason. God replies with great force and deep gentleness. God compares God's self to a mother. But Zion said, people in despair said, the Lord has forsaken me. My Lord has forgotten me. And what does God proclaim? What is God's answer to that? Can a woman forget her nursing child or show no compassion for the child of her womb? Even these may forget, God said. Even a mother may forget to care for their child. Even a mother may neglect their child. Yet, God says, yet I will not forget you. See, I have you inscribed on the palms of my hands. That's what it says. I have you inscribed on the palms of my hands. Not only is God's love broader than a mother's love, but our very selves are engraved on God's vast hands. That love is beyond words, beyond size, beyond our minds. It is the rhythm of our soul. I will not forget you. Admiral Jim Stockdale was served in the Navy for 37 years, and for most of those, he was a fighter pilot off of an aircraft carrier in the Navy. It was during the Vietnam War, and when he was doing a combat tour over northern Vietnam, he was shot down, and he was quickly scooped up by the Vietnamese and put in what came to be known as the Hanoi Hilton. And he was the highest ranking U.S. officer to be at the Hanoi Hilton, this compound where the prisoners of war were kept. And so the captors especially focused on him, trying to break him, trying to use him for propaganda. He was tortured over 20 times. He'd been in leg irons for 2 years, and for 8 years he was in prison, but for 4 of those 8 years, he was in solitary confinement, alone, not with the other prisoners. This was 65 to 73 was when his total imprisonment was. You know, he never knew day to day if he was going to survive or ever see his family again. I can't imagine it. He worked with the other prisoners of war there and set up schedules to keep some type of structures in their day. And they also put together this code, I don't understand it exactly, but it was based on a matrix of tab codes for the military alphabet. I don't know. You know, not Morse code, probably more complicated than that, but they had some type of way to be able to communicate with each other when they couldn't be together. At one point, after a period of torture, he was once again put into solitary confinement. And the other prisoners of war went out into the central area to do their sweeping and mopping. And together, they swished, 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 and swept, swept, swept the code of three words. I love you. We love you. We love you. They did this again and again to communicate with him while he was in solitary confinement. We love you. People, God cries this out on every level to us as his precious people. The rhythms all around us sing it. The miracle of our cells and systems pulse it. It's in our very veins that God will not forsake us. Can it be? Can it be that there's something deeper, something higher, something wider, something universal, something mystical, something cosmic, beating with the pulse of life? I love you. You are my child. I am God. I will not forsake you. I say there is. I believe the Bible says there is. And that voice, that mystery, is hope. Hope. We can't dissect it. We can't turn it into a formula or a process or profess how it works any more than an infant can in a mother's embrace. But we can take comfort and meaning in the mystical embrace of God. Psalm 131, probably the shortest psalm in the Bible. My heart is not proud, Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with matters or things too wonderful for me. But I've calmed and quieted myself. I am like a weaned child with her mother. Like a weaned child, I am content. Israel, people of Central, put your hope in the Lord, both now and forevermore. I, says God, will never forget you.
Hi, friends. I imagine you were moved by Pastor Jane's proclamation as I was. And I think of that line of God saying, I will never forget my people. I think of where the representatives of Christ's movement in the world, that bonus onus is on us, isn't it? That we will not forget people who God is working with. So I say, let us support the many ministries that happen around Central Church. If you have a gift to give, if you're someone who just gives remotely, automatically, as I do, hooray. If you're someone who maybe it helps to have a way to send in a check or to donate through our website, that image will come up in just a moment. But for this next while, let's just think about what we're offering to God to support the church. Thank you.
Thank you.
Brothers and sisters, thank you for joining us for worship today. We hope that you'll tune in Wednesday evening as Dale and I greet you and offer hopefully some words to inspire you by. And then immediately after that will be a lecture presentation we're really excited about by Angie Morgan. If you are interested in that, you'll just need to go to the website under Adult Ed Growth Groups and register for that so that you'll be sure and get the link in the mail for that. All right, let me send you out with this benediction. May God give you wisdom and bless you in the week that we are all stepping into. May the God who acts both as mother and father, plus the Son and Holy Spirit, give you courage so that you can live forward in faith. Go in peace.